It's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
All businesses with a facility in any of the seven Bay Area jurisdictions, except essential businesses, are required to cease all activities beyond minimum basic operations.
Dr. Sarah Cody, the Santa Clara County Public Health Officer, and that's the biggest shutdown in America right now, if you look at those seven counties around San Francisco.
Yeah.
They're being ordered to shelter in place starting just an hour ago.
Yeah, right.
The Bay Area order is the most draconian yet of the measures being taken across the country. The time for half measures is over, said the San Jose mayor. History will not forgive us for waiting an hour more. Health services, grocery stores, gas station, banks, and food delivery services will remain open. Mass transit will stay open, but is only to be used for travel to and from essential services. Also, the media will still be open.
Yeah.
But as you and I said, and I don't know, they said the police are willing to enforce it. I don't know how you enforce it.
Well,
what do you do? Because you and I, first thing we thought of, my plumbing's gone in my house. I need somebody to fix it. Is that a necessary service? It would seem to be, right?
I think so.
Right? Electrician.
Right. Yep.
Natural gas.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure.
I've got a gas leak.
Right.
Well, you'd call 911 for that, though, wouldn't you? Yes.
Yeah.
For lack of toilet paper, no. Gas leak, yes.
Yeah.
Just leave the house when you make the phone call.
Yeah, it comes back to that question. How do you qualify it? What's necessary? And what's not necessary? And again, on the enforcement level, all right, your police force is only so big. You're going to have a number of individuals in a city that size that are going to be violating this order.
I was thinking of that as I was driving to work last night.
Mm-hmm.
Because I woke up, you know, when I'd gone to sleep, they had done the order, but when I woke up, I was just thinking about, you know, that order in San Francisco and going, wow, how do they do it? And when I got on the roads, I noticed that the roads were lighter traffic than normal. I started thinking, what if that order came down here? You know, the police going to pull me over? How many cars would be on the road? Because really, in a way, that's unprecedented.
Yeah.
Right. You think about it. It's unprecedented. I think of, you know, maybe times when it has not snowed in New York where I grew up in Buffalo, but when it snowed when I lived in Florida, or when it snowed when I've lived in Texas, and the roads will be completely empty. But I was wondering if they did that in Texas, and I don't know if we're going to get to that point in Texas.
You and I were talking about the states. There's four states so far that have postponed their primaries.
Yes.
And you look at, I guess, solutions from that. Could certain states going forward, because they would have time, I guess, to get out between, well, they have to get their primaries done between now and July 13th, unless they were to delay the convention. I mean, if this thing were to go on that long and then they delayed their national convention, the party, the DNC, well, or the RNC,
they could delay both.
You could, I guess, one option could be expanding qualifications for absentee ballot.
Yeah. Or just cancel the election and have Trump serve four more years.
Well, I think that's the most widely considered idea.
And
four more terms, actually. You said 4 years. Actually, it's four more terms.
Yes.
A total of 16 more years.
And then in order to have an orderly society,
yes,
Democrats would jump on board in agreement with that.
Yes, yes.
Or they would
otherwise,
jump.
Otherwise, they don't care about
no,
people.
They would jump on board.
Yes.
Well, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of Joe Biden, possibility? Yeah, Trump would be guaranteed four more terms. Yeah, we think that might be a good idea.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. By the way, to our audience, no, we are not sick. We're just having a little fun.
No, we're sick, all right.
Yeah, well, I'm sick and I'm tired. The problem, I think, again, is that you mentioned, you know, going into the top of the hour, you know, Florida hasn't canceled there. Can't we just call it for Biden, though? I mean, do we really need people? I'm just joking. Of course, people need to get out and cast their vote. Just be cautious and wash your hands.
No, big loudspeakers on Clearwater Beach.
Yeah.
How many for Biden?
Exactly. It was amazing. I was in Florida last year. It was amazing. This is last year. Seeing the Trump flags and huge support, anecdotally, where I was, seeing tons of support for Trump in that state. But in the primary, Biden is going to take that state. But, you know, the nature of the voting, and I know it varies from state to state, from county to county, but there's a lot of electronic voting going on, which means you're touching a screen that somebody else, a bunch of somebody else's, mm-hmm. just touched.
Yep.
And so that's something that's got to be considered.
And here's the latest, Univision, Biden 63. This is for Florida.
Yeah.
63, Sanders 25.
Wow.
That'll be one of the last polls going in.
Yeah.
Biden up 38. Ohio, which has now been postponed.
Right. Yeah, one of the four states that is postponed.
Biden 58, Sanders 35, Biden plus 23. Arizona, Biden 53, Sanders 36.
Yeah.
And, oh, okay, the other ones I'm looking at here the Univision poll on Florida for the general election.
Right.
Trump 48, Biden 45, Trump 49, Sanders 42.
The four states include Georgia, Kentucky, Louisiana, and Ohio. Ohio is the only one that was supposed to happen today.
Yes.
I guess we'll see what they decide to do. The parties essentially have to decide that in the primary part of it. They have to decide that. So we'll see if, and they're, you know, it's interesting. You've got to work with local and county judges and everything else. You got to work with the county officials and coordinating all that. That's going to be a mess. That's going to be a real mess. You got to wonder if Bernie does drop out on Wednesday. You know, I mean, you have to wonder if...
let's be honest. I need to check to see the ratings of the debate,
yeah.
The TV ratings of the debate. Mm. I can't imagine that anybody... This is such a huge and unusual time in America. To basically be closed down because of a pandemic has never happened in any of our lifetimes.
No.
Right?
Nope.
This is in itself unprecedented. The only thing that I can remember that gives you the same feeling of isolation, and I mentioned this before, was the blizzard of 77 in Buffalo, New York, back in late January of 77. And I was in college, my last year of college. And things were really, they were completely shut down for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Everything was shut down for 2 weeks. Inside Buffalo, more like a month. If you lived in Buffalo, the actual city, and the reason was simply because the city was built before people had cars, so there were no driveways.
Right.
So everybody parked on the street. Plows couldn't get down it. And you had 10, 20 feet of drifts that just laid there and didn't melt for a month.
Wow.
And it took that long to get through there, and even the small plows trying to get through couldn't get through, just packed the snow up more. And there were cars that were found under snowbanks 2 months later.
Wow.
There were bodies that were found 2 months later.
Wow.
Because of it. So that's the only thing that I can come close. And that was, you were basically hunkered down. And I will say before the blizzard of 77, it was a terrible winter anyway, and you felt isolated to begin with because there was so much snow. But I grew up in the suburbs where they plowed the streets. You couldn't park on the street. So they would plow the streets so you were able to get around, but really much wasn't open. And there was really nothing to do. But you were sort of, for 2 weeks, there wasn't much that really you could do it all except sit around the house. But to have it on a national scale like it is.
Oh, yeah, this is global scale.
We're global scale, yeah. Where people are staying in.
Right.
And for the most part, 99.999%, everything is moving along in an orderly fashion, isn't it?
Yeah, right.
Some people are getting ticked off here or there. But I find most people, you said it yesterday. You told me, I don't know if you even said it on the air, but you went in and you were at a store yesterday and you ended up giving the toilet paper to somebody else who you thought needed it more than you did.
Right. I've got, you know, some, it's, I haven't built up a entire, you know, storage shed full of it. I got some, but I saw a lady and she had two children with her and there was I think there were three packages left. And I said, here, I don't know. They didn't have a limit. It was a small package and there was no sign that put a limit on it. And I said, well, here you go. Because the fact of the matter is that you know what you need. And I also know that the supply chain will be rebounding. The one thing that will keep going is trucking. It's not that it's going to rebound like right now, but I believe over the next couple of weeks, we're probably going to see that supply chain getting a lot better.
I noticed it yesterday already. So
yeah,
well,
yeah,
I was in a couple of stores
and
saw the supply chain coming back. And so I think also when Americans, a lot of Americans stocked up for
right.
a while. And
once you stock up for a while, then you're good.
Right. And then you're like, okay, I've done it for a while. Then you go in and you may buy a few things every day, but you're back to your normal habit.
Right.
I don't see things from the supply chain for food and necessary services. Much of a change for most Americans out there.
Yeah.
All right, your call's coming up next, including from Spain. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Analyzing the oil in your vehicle is like sending your blood to the lab for tests. After you have submitted your lube scan kit, technicians will check for elemental metals, including the presence of metals and other elements such as aluminum, chromium, iron, lead, copper, calcium, and more. Knowing the levels of these materials can help you identify wear patterns in a specific part of your engine. High amounts of wear metal usually indicate an abnormal wear or corrosion problem. Technicians will also check for insoluble matter like carbon, fuel, and dirt. The insolubles test measures how fast the oil is oxidizing and receiving contaminants and how effectively the system's oil filtration is functioning. Analysis will measure the oil's viscosity, its alkalinity or acid level, and if the proper level of detergents and anti-wear additives are present. If your oil falls out of the range it's supposed to be in, the oil could have been overheated or contaminated. The lube scan report will detail the results of these tests and provide an overall condition of the sample, ranging from normal to severe. If you've used LubeScan before, the report will include any changes from earlier analysis. For more information, visit Cenex.com.
This maintenance tip is brought to you by TA Truck Service. More bays, more expertise, more solutions.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carney, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. The Spanish government has nationalized all private hospitals and healthcare providers because of the coronavirus. They have also declared a state of emergency, mobilized the military. Spain is now one of the worst affected countries outside of China and second only to Italy in Europe. Currently, they have 9,942 confirmed cases of coronavirus. And calling us from Spain is Francisco in Madrid. Francisco, welcome. Listening to Red Eye on the app. Hi, Francisco. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. So, how are you doing?
Fortunately, we're doing all right. I do count on a couple of elderly people, my in-laws, living with us, and trying to take measures necessary to be able to keep them healthy, as well as ourselves. As it stands right now, pretty much the government has said that nobody can be out in the streets unless it's absolutely necessary. And people who are traveling can be asked for proof of the fact that they are going somewhere for work purposes, be it transportation drivers, public or private, or merchandise and everything, or first aid people. We have somebody who comes and takes care of my in-laws, and they have a document from their association that says they are first aid providers to an elderly couple.
Wow.
So it's pretty much restricted as far as that's concerned. I may not have seen the email I sent to you, but I took a picture yesterday going shopping where only food purchases are permitted, such that in a supermarket, anything that's not food-related, meaning appliances and school supplies and all that, is roped off so that people don't even go to that part of the store because they can only purchase food, things, items. They're not rationed, but you can only purchase that. Depending on supplies, we'll see if they start rationalizing that, but for now it's not the case. The police actually have stopped. I've got a friend who is a police officer, and he says on Sunday they gave about 100 and almost 200 tickets to people who were out in the streets when they should not have been out. So pretty much it is a matter of people trying to take more responsibility and be more civilly responsible and conscientious of what they should and shouldn't do. By the same token, they're Mediterranean, so there's a lot of memes that go out comically about, hey, I'll rent you my dog so you can go out for a walk and walk the dog around. But things like that, as well as at 8 o'clock at night, people have been told, hey, go out to your balconies or windows and clap and applaud the health aid people who are at the hospitals and places who are taking care of all those that are sick.
Wow.
And that is something that's impactful.
Yeah, sure. Morale-wise, I can see that. So going to the grocery store to get food is deemed necessary. You are able to do that?
Yes, yes. Okay. If you have to, you can go. They do try to ask only one person to go from the household rather than two or three.
Oh, yeah.
But
right. Okay.
Right.
All right.
And now, inside the store, they do tell the people to keep 1 yard away from each other.
Is the supply of food in those grocery stores, is it pretty healthy right now, or are there bare shelves?
It by the end of the day, definitely bare shelves, but then first thing in the morning, they're restocking and everything else, they fill them back up.
Good.
And mostly from what the salesperson was saying, people are taking more than they really need, and so therefore you've got somebody buying large quantities when that's going to be the issue that can cause rationing.
Sure. Wow, well, thank you, Francisco. We greatly appreciate your call. We'll keep all of our global friends in our thoughts and prayers, and so thank you for sharing that
from Madrid, Spain.
Yeah,
appreciate that.
But that is interesting. You know, you've seen the videos of people, you know, on their balconies, but you know, essentially in that case in Spain, they go out each evening on their balconies and they applaud the healthcare workers, which is, I'm sure, very cool. As a society, we often forget certain roles that are necessary. But right now, healthcare industry, trucking, there's a great deal of appreciation, and I'm seeing new appreciation for it all over again.
One.
866-90-RED-EYE. We're taking your calls on Red Eye Radio.
And he is Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Welcome, and good morning. Thank you so much for being here this morning. I've had a number of people call from all over the world here today, and people in really interesting professions, and finding out how people are dealing with the coronavirus and the restrictions and the mandates that have been put on by various government levels across the country. Let's head back to you. We go to Steve in New York City. Steve, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Gary. Gary Nevick, thank you very much for taking the call.
You're welcome.
And you've got to use my New York accent, a little different than you, some of the people that have been calling in. But there's something that's bothered me for quite a while. We've had all these restrictions and things that are placed on people around the country. My concern is the people who ride the subway trains in New York City each day, thousands upon thousands of people who are crammed in like sardines. Now, the mayor has put into effect a system where they're wiping down turnstiles, wiping down trains at the end of the night, but that doesn't take into account the millions of people who are packed in, like I say, like sardines, every single day, every single hour of the day, spreading or possibly spreading this coronavirus amongst others. So I'm just making that comment. I'd like to get your comment on what I had just said.
Well, and thank you so much, Steve, for calling. Well, I guess the one thing I would have to say is, you know, looking at the CDC, what they say about it is the fact that they believe that it can be transferred off of surfaces, but they believe that that is at the low risk end, that the big risk end is being close to another human being. So if they're wiping down the turnstiles and things like that, so be it. But it's the fact, and this is this seems to be as unanimous as you can get. The consensus is in that it is person to person is how it's passed.
Right.
Sneezing, touching, you know, getting on your hand, putting your hand up to your face. Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so they don't know. They believe it can be transferred, you know, from the surface, but they don't believe that that's the primary way that it's transferred.
Right.
So, yeah, we understand your concern. And you when you bring that up, you say, okay. By the way, another thing was New York State passed the plastic bag ban. I think it was the Wall Street Journal had an article saying, you want to know where germs can stick to? Mm. A bag that's reused over and over and over and over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about surface, you know, if we're talking about the plastic bag ban, well, then if you're using the same bag over and over again, then it tends to stay there. Now, how long does it stay on surfaces? We looked at the one non-peer-reviewed study that has come out in the last week, and they say, what, roughly 3 days?
Right.
That it can stay on some kind of a metal surfaces.
Yeah.
And live fewer on others.
Mm-hmm.
So in the air, what, we're told 3 hours?
Right.
On surfaces, metal surfaces, 3 days.
Yeah. Again, it's hard to, because the CDC doesn't know, there's so much they don't know, you know, it's hard to know what the efforts are doing. I mean, the isolation efforts, obviously, are, you know, something that could be very effective. If you're not looking at, if they believe it's not mutating, at a great level and it could die off, isolation could work. Again, the question is, how long do you isolate? I mean, it's the quarantine level is 14 days, but you have governments shutting things down for, you know, everything from a week or two to, weeks or indefinitely. The Dallas ISD closing their doors indefinitely, basically saying they don't know.
Well, we saw this this morning, Independent UK stating that China is announcing just one new case today.
Mm-hmm.
More cases from people coming into the country.
Yeah.
But if you come into the country, you have to be quarantined, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think 20 new cases from people coming into the country, but only one
internally. If that is true, and again, everything that comes from China is suspect, but if that is true, you can understand why it's being reported in the government that they're coming up with worst case and, you know, worst case scenarios and best case scenarios.
Right.
That if we jump on this immediately here, because that's what the president's talking about. The president yesterday was talking about what? The 15 day. We want to slow this thing down in 15 days. Mm-hmm. That's why we have these recommendations. And we believe this can slow it down. And if we slow it down, then from what I have read yesterday, the best case scenario, these are all source stories now out there, would be after a month we would see a downturn. The worst case, 2 to 3 months. Well, that would basically be mirroring what we see in China, if that is accurate.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I mean, let's hope that is. Let's hope that is accurate. Because I've, again, there's been conversation about how a virus could, like this, could die off. Again, if it's not mutating. And isolation efforts globally. Travel, you know, restrictions and isolation efforts do work, then it could be very short-lived. But what effect long-term is there on the economy? And then you lift isolation efforts and the virus returns. What happens then? I mean, again, there's going to, it's, it, right now it goes back to the CDC, the FDA, on approval for any kind of, you know, drugs or treatment or vaccine.
This is where there's so many variables here and unanswered questions, right, which is part of the concern. You know, you bring that up, you say, well, what if we do it? And then we go back out and there's still, 190 million people that have not been exposed to it in some form or manner,
right,
or 300 million, whatever the number would be. I'm just, who knows what it is? Because we don't know how widespread it is. That's one of the questions that was asked yesterday. If this actually reports are true that China, it was there in November, well, with all the transportation from China around the world,
mm-hmm,
could it be that the majority of the world has been exposed to it, but the symptoms in the majority of people are so minor, mm-hmm, or were to the point of putting them into the hospital,
right,
but it
right,
was just flu-like,
right,
and therefore you didn't go, and it's passed through a significant portion of society already, and there's already a part huge immunity.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't know because we don't have the testing. Because when you look, I understand when you look at it overall and you see, what was it, what did I see earlier, 190,000 cases worldwide, you're like, we've got over 7 billion people, that's nothing.
Well, I mean, you know, you look at the criteria in terms of the testing, I think it was Dr. Drew that was making this point recently, and he said, you know, the media, he's got problems with the so-called journalists passing bad information. I mean, look, the CDC... and Dr. Fauci, who has been out there, it seems like now he's been out there for months, but I mean, really, over the last few weeks, he's been very, very present and getting information out there. But he talked about, Dr. Drew talked about the testing itself, and, you know, you can't just get a test just because you're worried. You know, they're not going to administer that test. It's going to be set on criteria. Where you have traveled, if you've been exposed, or if you are symptomatic, you know, and so yeah, there could be, well, like Idris Elba, the actor, he was exposed, but he tested positive,
right?
But no symptoms, you know. So there could be a number of people out there. There likely is right now.
Well,
a great number of people out there that are non-symptomatic and are carriers. And would test positive. But again, the testing itself is going to, you know, there's going to be, unless it's ordered when they're widely available, when more tests are available, test kits are available. I guess you could see local officials,
but
if they're available,
you're talking
administer
about,
and
you're
relax the criteria.
But you're talking about tens of millions.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
When you, if you, and again, that's, because that's our, that has been our question. And this would be, and again, not to cause panic, but it would actually be the reverse of it. If there's a lot more people that are, you know, that are affected by it and have had it and don't know it, well, that's actually a good sign.
Right.
But that's the one thing when.
Because you know, the ratio changes.
Right. The ratio changes completely. The fatality rate. But if you see if this thing has been around since November is when it really came out of China, and millions of people hundreds of thousands by traveling all places, set different, you know, spots where it could expand, the virus could expand. How many people had the bad flu? It's funny because I was talking to folks at my car dealership yesterday where the bad flu ran through their whole department in late December. And they said it was horrible.
Right.
And one said, yeah, I went to my doctor, and my doctor said, how do you feel? And said, like, I'm dying. He goes, okay, you got the flu.
Yeah, right.
Because it was that bad. But how many people had the bad flu that was not diagnosed at that point, maybe in January, if it was widespread all throughout December? And transportation was still going on from China all around the world. Those are the questions that we don't have answered. But actually finding that out more likely would be good news, because then we would find out that the fatality rate is not as great and that a greater percentage don't even have a greater percentage than we know right now have really very minor symptoms.
Right.
And then you can sort of figure out, okay, how bad is this disease and what percentage, you know, have it bad or, you know, need hospitalization, how many need ICU, how many it's just, okay, a sickness like any other, and how many, for example, as the actor you just mentioned, have no symptoms whatsoever but test right. positive for it.
Right.
You can start building some type of database on it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem right now. The medical people still don't know. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It is Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Let's go to Frank in Dallas. Frank, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Hey, thanks for letting me on, and I hope all is well with you two guys, you and yours.
Yeah, thanks.
Over the last, I don't know, few days, I've been listening to some of the other, I listen to a lot of talk radio, and the thought has been, okay, this is showing everybody how inadequate and how bloated federal government is, and they can't do anything. Now I'm starting to hear it out here, in away from the radio, and just people that I interact with, people that I work with, and they're kind of saying the same thing. You know, government can't handle this. You know, the private sector is out there spearheading this effort, and it's not real. I can hear it a little bit here and there, but I still hear, you know, it's Trump's virus, it's Trump's fault, this, that, and the other, and what have you. But I'm starting to hear something a little different, and it's making me a little bit more optimistic about what people are seeing. But having said that, what happened a few weeks after 9/11, we went back to our old ways. So,
sure.
You know.
Yeah, yeah.
As I said, look, when you've got a political party that will want to overturn an election based on the fact that the president wishes to protect his constitutional rights and go to the courts, and every senator will remove him, politics isn't going away anytime soon, and they have no problem playing politics here. Look, when it comes to mobilizing the private sector to produce test kits, yeah, this is the best way, without question, the best way to go, and the president, I believe, did a great job of doing it. So if you're talking about the government being inadequate there, especially trying to, if we talk about the government in the healthcare industry, we would agree with you. But there are some things the government can do to be effective, and we see those in what's going on right now, which is, all right, getting out the information to the public as to what exactly is going on from a single source, which would be Dr., you know, Fauci and the people that work for him.
Right. You know, the Senate's going to take up that bill later on today. You and I were having the off-air discussion about Mitt Romney wanting to introduce a measure that would basically pay every adult $1,000. And we'll see where that goes. I suspect that's not going to happen.
Andrew Yang's going.
Exactly.
Well, what about me?
Hold on. That was my idea.
It's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the world, 866-90-RED-EYE, redeyeradioshow.com. We stream live or get our app, put it on your phone, listen 24/7. In the news this morning, the president speaking yesterday and talking about some of the primary elections that have been postponed, including the Ohio primary today.
Well, I'd leave that up to the states. It's a big thing, postponing an election. I think to me that really goes to the heart of what we're all about. I think postponing an election is a very tough thing. I know they're doing, because they've been in touch with us, they're doing it very carefully.
Meanwhile, in the San Francisco area, you have 7 million people living, I believe it's in 7 different counties now, that are being ordered to shelter in place. Here's Santa Clara County Public Health Officer Dr. Sarah Cody.
All businesses with a facility in any of the 7 Bay Area jurisdictions, except essential businesses, are required to cease all activities beyond minimum basic operations.
We'll get into that in here in just a couple of moments. Meanwhile, the Dow futures this morning. We're as high as 800 up.
Mm-hmm. Earlier. Yeah.
Yes. Now just 264 and dropping rapidly over the last 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Just so you know. So plus 264 right now on the Dow futures. You know, I was really wondering yesterday the timing of the press conference, which was really in the last hour.
Right.
When he talked about the fact that this could last 4 or 5 months, and you just saw the stock market start to tank at that point. And one wonders if they don't want to get to the bottom as quickly as possible.
Of the market?
Yeah. That's the only thought I could come up with. Are they trying to sit there and put all the... Let's give them the worst possible scenario here so we get it down as far as we can now and then say we've got the plan here over the next 15 days to get it down. No more than recommendation, no more than 10 people congregate. And hopefully we can get it down. Was that an effort? I have to ask the question because the timing was really incredible. I was watching it going, you're doing this in the last hour of the stock market today. And you can watch it just boo going down as they talk.
Sure. I don't know because if you see what's going on in the global markets, I mean, it's trading everywhere is chaotic.
Yeah, it is.
And so I would think it's just trying to get information out there, the latest information, and the market judging it. I don't know where that bottom is. Nobody does. And there are things that if we don't rebound from yesterday, if there is no upside and a rebound to pair some of those losses yesterday, it's going to look pretty bleak.
Mm-hmm.
You might see the market react to if the Senate gets something done. If they can get a bill to the president's desk in terms of any kind of stimulus package. But again, that's going to take a minute. And the market might react to that. I just don't know what that reaction would be. It might be positive, but it would likely be short-lived because the hole is so deep. I mean, this I guess where could you go next? You see next? And that would be what, a nationwide curfew or something?
Where could you go next? That more cities and more states expand to what San Francisco did.
Right.
That's really about as bad as you could get, right? I mean,
right.
Where you say basically everybody stay in place. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's going to happen, but when you've got the administration coming and saying no more than 10 people, you've almost got to that point of stating shut it all down.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's just a recommendation, but the states follow the lead and the mayors follow the lead because they're in constant communication. As you mentioned, when you talked with the Fort Worth City mayor last week,
mm-hmm.
and we're in constant communication with the CDC as to what to do.
Right.
Well, they're coming out and saying no more than 10 people. Well, then you just about shut down everything, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, that's what's next. I mean, we talked to one flight attendant who called us earlier, and she said, what do you guys think of the chance that they would start limiting, restricting domestic travel, you know, nationwide? Air travel. That possibility is there. You know, you
based
have
on the six-foot rule.
Well,
right.
Again, yeah, with 200-plus people in a plane, and they're all, you know, I mean, the seats aren't big. Well, they are where you sit, Gary, but not where the rest of us sit. But the, you know, I mean,
that's not always true.
I just don't know, again, because that would be massive. That would be massive, massive move. But look at all the massive moves they've made in recent days.
Well, that would affect the stock market drastically. Now, I'm sure you read that we haven't talked about this on or off the air, but the Washington Post, the Wall Street Journal article about what the bailout should be.
Right.
That the bailout that the federal government has to, because you cannot stop. We had a caller earlier that said, look, we got a great economy, and so we'll be able to rebound very quickly. I would say I think that's a very optimistic way to look at it. If you shut down business completely or you shut it down, did you see some of the manufacturing projections?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They're just darn right scary from the first part of March.
They are.
I mean, just frightening how much they have dropped. You shut down industry and business for 3 months.
Right.
It just doesn't start back up again and everything's fine.
Right.
And that's where the Wall Street Journal was talking about the next thing that they've got to do is loans. Now, you make loans based on the assets of these, you know, airline companies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've got to be paid off, but you do it based on the assets, and so you don't get burned too much on it. But they're talking about the fact that this is as serious as it didn't start out as a financial crisis, but it's becoming one.
Yes, it is, very quickly. Well, and because you look at, too, what would happen to small business if you have, especially in the service industry, if you have a ton of bars and restaurants, smaller ones that go under as a result of having to close their doors. Collectively, small business employs the most people.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got massive layoff, and those small businesses aren't going to just rebound and bounce back. The airline companies have a faster rebound when travel restrictions are lifted and people's fears are calmed, then they will have a faster bounce back. They have the infrastructure in place. It's very different than going in and restarting an old business.
You could look at some of those loans, especially with how they have been performing the last couple of years.
Right.
And you can say, based on the assets, that would be a safe loan to make if they needed a loan, because we know that once we say, okay, go ahead, fly, mm-hmm. and let's say it's right before the summer, those mm-hmm. those airplane seats are going to be packed for the so hypothetically if that's when the all
yeah,
clear
right,
comes.
Exactly. That rebound comes back right. pretty quickly.
That would come back extremely quick. Mm-hmm. For the rest, it might not.
Well, it might not ever come back because you could look at it, again if you look at a for certain businesses.
Small business, if you have no revenue for 2 months, could put you out.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if there's the hope of a guaranteed loan or a loan for you 2 months from now, you can't last the 2 months.
Exactly. Well, and would it be smart money in loaning, you know, a small business that kind of money for that gap? Because if you go with the big companies and you're basing it on assets, those smaller companies have much fewer assets.
That's right.
And the value of the company is really based on that revenue. You would have to present your books and show probably for a certain amount of time that you have been not only solvent but profitable. And then I guess you could probably set up a loan process, small business loan process. I would agree with the Wall Street Journal. That's probably your approach for business. But then you get down to the individual. Because if people are laid off, they're not going to be able to afford to fly, even if the restrictions are lifted. You've got people who won't be able to afford a number of things. I mean, you got Mitt Romney out there talking about giving every U.S. adult $1,000.
Like right now.
Right.
Pass it where I don't know how you do that.
I don't know how you do that. I guess you would administer. Through the IRS, I guess. Through the Treasury.
By the way, Eric, you were saying that nobody knows from when we're going to hit bottom in the stock market.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody does and you have a proven track record, give Eric and I a call.
Yes, because we'd like to make some money off that.
We'd like to have a discussion with
well,
you.
Well, I mean, I guess that's the point is that we don't know what other restrictions would be in terms of policy on local and state levels and federal levels even. What else is going to be put into place?
And we don't. That's the thing we don't know. And as we've said all along, this whole thing is based on the medical community not knowing.
Right, right.
And as we said earlier, people made a lot of comparisons to the flu, and that's why we've said over and over again, from the medical community, politics outside of it completely. Because
mm-hmm.
politics, the virus doesn't care. You know, what's going on here? And the fact is, these are the medical people believe that it's more contagious, probably twice as contagious as the regular flu. It's not the flu, but it's twice as contagious. And they do believe, as Dr. Fauci said, that it's 10 times deadlier than the flu, which is 0.1% fatality rate. Now, we're not sure what that fatality rate is. I don't believe they know either. Now, he said that. I don't know if he meant exactly 10 times. As we know, it's been talked about in the media that it's 30 times because it's up near the 3% level. And we've stated from the very beginning, you can't make that case based on the sample that you have. You just can't do it.
Right.
And the other belief is by the medical profession, by what it does to you, that this will kill more elderly than the flu does. And will kill more people, you know, who get it based on the percentage who get it, not on the overall amount, as we see with the flu, based on the number of people that catch the flu. So that's really the great unknown. How contagious is it? And how deadly is it? And until they find it out, we're not really going to have a resolution. Or until they see it going away. And really, the other thing we don't know, how long has it been out there? We don't know that either.
Right.
We really don't. Was it out in December? Was it passed to the Western world in December? Did the Chinese know that it existed in November? And therefore, was it all over the world by the time we got to December? And were many cases that were diagnosed maybe as the flu, but people got sick? We had a caller last night who talked about a family member who got sick. Mm-hmm. They diagnosed it, no, not the flu. And the question at that point, was it the coronavirus?
Right.
And again, we don't know. But if that's the case, that means hundreds of millions of people were exposed to it, which would then, as we talked about, if they then got it, would mean that the fatality rate is a great deal lower than many people suspect it is at this point.
Right. And that would be, of course, good news.
Yeah, that would be good news.
Yes.
Yeah. 866-90-RED-EYE.
June 1st. That reportedly is the date the Trump administration is targeting as the date of implementation of the U.S.-Mexico-Canada Trade Agreement, USMCA, now that the Canadian Parliament has ratified that deal. Canadian approval was the final step taken among the three member nations to ratify the new trade agreement, and its full implementation is one anxiously awaited by much of the U.S. ag sector and its supporters. Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue notes two domestic ag industries expected to benefit from USMCA.
The Canadian market opens up for some dairy products and other poultry and egg products.
And Agriculture Undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Agricultural Affairs Ted McKinney says our nation also looks forward to new and updated policies that should expand ag trade opportunities with our North American neighbors.
Brand new, never seen before language on the biosciences, the biotechnologies, the sanitary, phytosanitary chapters.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
The USDA report is brought to you by Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Highway Diesel Fuel.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. So the four specific guidelines that the administration laid out yesterday to be followed by all Americans for the next 15 days to try to slow the spread, that school-aged Americans should study from home where possible.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So all kids study at home. So right. All schools closed. At least the next 2 weeks. All Americans should avoid groups of more than 10 people. We're okay here, aren't we?
Yes.
We're following that.
We could afford six more people.
And we're studying from home. Now, we do that anyway. Yes. See, we're following this even beforehand. Yeah. All Americans should avoid discretionary travel.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming that means on planes, not in your own vehicle. Because if you're in your own vehicle. Now, you should... If you're going to a store where there's more than 10 people, then you shouldn't be doing that. But I think discretionary travel means airplane travel, right?
Yeah, I would think so. Vacation travel.
Yeah. All Americans should avoid eating in public restaurants, bars, or food courts, which in essence is saying they should be closed.
I don't know if the discretionary travel is limited to in terms of the recommendation, is limited to air travel. Because if you're traveling for vacation, you're going to be staying in hotels.
Yeah, exactly.
And, right. and relying right. on restaurants and everything else.
Right. Now, when I came in, I noticed that the hotels that normally are almost always 75% full, the parking lots,
mm-hmm.
were not.
Mm-hmm.
And even the strip club that I passed by, or as Al Bundy would say, the nudie bar,
mm-hmm.
didn't have a lot of cars in it.
So you didn't stop. You just kept driving.
Yeah,
Instead of stopping, you normally do.
I stop in on the way to work and then on the way back home.
Yeah.
For breakfast.
No buffet, Brian.
No buffet.
They suspended the buffet. I mean, you look at it and you already had the private sector issuing kind of, and it varies by company, like our company. You have essentially production people, programming people and on air people that are going. Everybody else is staying home.
Yep.
And so I think today will be a tell to see if they issue more restrictions, not on the local level, on the federal level, if recommendations do change today. If they don't change for a few days, that may be a good sign. Here's your forecast.
The chance of rain is increasing for Las Vegas. That's right. Portions of the Mojave Desert will go through the day with about a 30% chance of rain, and for Wednesday, 50% chance of showers. The areas that will see the greatest amount of rainfall totals this week, Central Texas on up through portions of Oklahoma, Arkansas, Missouri, Central Illinois, and Southern Indiana. And look for the potential for severe weather today for portions of eastern New Mexico, central Texas, on into the Ark-La-Tex region. The moisture from the Gulf will meet up with cold air out of Canada in Nebraska, where we could see some light snow flurries and potential icing overnight. For this last Tuesday of winter 2020, as you get toward the Boston area, you'll see light snow flurries this morning. That'll change over to rain later in the day with a high of 48. Clearing out by tomorrow for Boston, high near 45. There's a look at your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Broadcasting from a secure containment zone, Gary McNamara and Eric Harley on Red Eye Radio.
And he is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Well, that's an interesting story. I do remember covering this, here in the last year, year and a half or so. There's the headline, DOJ abruptly drops once heralded prosecution of Russian troll farm initiated by Mueller. I don't know. I remember you were involved in this conversation somehow. In a striking and unexpected abandonment of a once heralded prosecution initiated by special counsel Robert Mueller, the Justice Department moved Monday to drop charges against two Russian companies that were accused of funding a social media meme campaign to further their strategic goal to sow discord in the U.S. political system, including the 2016 presidential election.
Right.
Late Monday, with jury selection in the case set to begin in just 2 weeks, a federal judge granted the DOJ's motion to kill the prosecution. The government acknowledged the Russian companies were never likely to actually face punishment anyway and cited possible national security risks with going forward to trial.
Look, Mueller knew.
Hold it. I will now hand it over to you. That's what
I
remember.
Thank you, Gary. I'll take it from here. because it was ridiculous. Here's the way it went down. This was a media play by Mueller and his team at the time to issue 13 indictments. These indictments, it's a total of 13 individuals in Russia.
And three companies.
But these were the 13 people with that ran those companies. So you issue the indictments. They're in Russia. Mueller never expected them to respond to the indictments. But they end up hiring an American law firm to represent them, and they show up.
The one company did, yes.
Yes. And so when they show up, but of course this is the precedent, because this is where Mueller got stopped in his tracks. They show up, they have the right to discovery. Which means Mueller would have to hand over to Russians sensitive information, because that would be, of course, the evidence that's being used against them, right? Well, their lawyer showed up and asked for they have a right to a speedy trial. We want to get this underway. Mueller's team was like, well, we don't even know if they were actually served. Well, that's a moot point, the attorney said, because we're here. We're representing these people. So we showed up. It doesn't matter whether or not they were actually ever served in Russia. So then Mueller's team says, well, we're not ready, Judge, to move forward. Well, yeah, you are, because you indicted. You sent the indictments. They never, ever, the Mueller team never, ever thought they would respond. That was a media thing. That was something to get it out there that, you know, see, aha.
We're accomplishing something.
We're getting something done here. We're making progress. And, of course, it looks bad for the current administration.
And we said from the very beginning, watch these things be dropped, because they're not going to give discovery to the Russian companies. So they knew that from the beginning.
Yes.
So why did they do it?
Why would you issue indictments?
That's the question that we asked.
When you knew that was there was a risk, and maybe that was a slight risk, but you knew that was the risk. I mean, it reeks of, well, the emptiness and the bogus process, or lack of process, I guess, and approach by the Mueller team. I mean, it was just that, it's just mind-boggling how much effort and money was spent on that. Just frustrating.
And the whole goal was to give the imagery that, okay, we're doing something and we're getting the Russians. And
right.
We said this back. The reason we're bringing it up today is because we said this exact same thing. They'll never go forward with these charges.
Well, remember the Mueller bombshells, a lot of them happened, you know, as the administration had some kind of, you know, small victory to celebrate during a week. All of a sudden, boom, Mueller bombshell. That was a media play from day one, and this is proof of it. Now we go back to the whole Michael Flynn thing. So if you're Sidney Powell, well, of course, she wants this whole thing dismissed. She's Michael Flynn's attorney. But you look at that, the original documents of the FBI just all of a sudden disappearing on that 302.
I'm just telling you.
They're just, we lost them. The dog ate your homework? Really? I mean, this is absolutely, further proof that this entire mess from start to finish was one big political play, and it's bogus.
In other news out there, Dollar General Corporation announced plans to dedicate the first hour of each shopping day to seniors. Yep.
Okay.
They're doing this in light of COVID, COVID-19.
So you got to show an ID to be old enough to get in, I guess.
Yes. Or you just look old enough. According to the release, Dollar General wants to provide these at-risk customers with the ability to purchase items at the beginning of each day to avoid busier and more crowded shopping periods. And they've cleaned everything off.
Okay. All right.
At that point, they've sanitized everything. NASCAR season postponed through May 3rd. And the Kentucky Derby will be postponed until September.
Wow. That's a big deal.
I know.
It's a huge deal.
It's just the Derby will be postponed until Saturday, September 5th, Labor Day weekend.
Oh, okay. All right. That's probably a good weekend to have it.
Yeah, I was going to say that may be a good weekend.
Right.
But I could do that better than I could the Masters in October. It wouldn't be, look at the azaleas blooming. It would be, no birds. They've all gone down south, but look how pretty the trees look at Augusta this time of the year.
Right.
They'd have to pipe in the bird sound, maybe.
Right.
It wouldn't be the spring bird.
Well, they know how to do that.
I don't know. I tend to give some credibility to those that believe the Masters will not happen this year. One quick thing here, because I saw the headline, and you and I were talking about this off the air, where it said Gavin Newsom signs executive order to halt foreclosures.
Right. Well, that was the headline.
Yes.
But basically, it's the enforcement of the foreclosure, which is eviction.
The eviction. They can't stop a foreclosure.
Foreclosure is from the bank.
Right.
You can't. A governor's not going to be able to stop the foreclosure. It's they're suspending evictions, essentially, in the state. That's the enforcement side of it.
And to stop utility shutoffs.
Yes.
That apparently they can do then, right?
Right. Yeah. So, they do have that power.
Because most utilities are regulated by the commission. What is it? The Public Utility Commission, right?
Yes. Right. So that basically keeping people in their homes for, I don't remember how long the suspension was. Was it for the rest of the year? I don't recall.
I don't. End of May.
End of May. Okay.
End of May.
Okay.
Is what, says, right. what it says yeah. here on the
head. I knew it was temporary, but I couldn't remember how long. Well, we've had so many suspensions. Even different schools, school districts in our area. You know, some are going to be out for 2 weeks, some and indefinitely. But that's wreaking havoc right now. Because if you're a single parent and you've got a child who cannot, who has to be supervised at home, then you can't go to work because it's likely mm-hmm. your daycare is probably closed too.
Yeah, I don't even know from my town if the restaurants and bars are closed or, you know, my city that I live in.
Right.
I don't believe they are. I probably would know it by now.
Mm-hmm.
I would have probably seen it on social media, but.
Right. You're seeing a lot of the 24-hour operations that, you know, used to be there, especially big box stores. Now they're, for them, it's about restocking, but they're closing now at night, at least for the time being. And so restocking is obviously extremely important, and it's probably all hands on deck right now at those 24-hour, what used to be 24-hour operations. I mean, I went to a couple of different stores, and the workers there just look exhausted.
Okay, we've closed some adult centers in my town and things like that. Mm. So we've got a big water park where I live. They've closed that.
Mm-hmm.
Libraries are closed. Okay, so they are
right.
They are doing veterans events, and so they are canceling things.
Sure.
So you figured it was. I mean, it's happening in every town.
Yeah.
But I just hadn't heard it in social media. I just haven't heard about it. So, and I think we're on spring break right now.
Hmm. Yeah. A number of the school districts are. Yeah. Right in our area. Yep.
So I just wonder. Now the governor of Texas has said he will not close restaurants and bars. That's up to the local government.
Right.
That, by the way, that sounds very much like Texas.
Mm-hmm.
We don't make the decision. You are best. You know, you're closer to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
You make that decision there. You communicate. You said early in the show last week, you talked to the mayor of Fort Worth, Texas, who said mm-hmm. we're in constant communication with the CDC.
Right.
It's like, yeah, you make your decision for your own town. Make it a local decision.
And they she told me, this is Betsy Price, the Fort Worth mayor. She also said that there's lots of communication between area mayors. I mean, we've got, I don't know how many, dozens of small towns that make up this DFW area, 50 or 60. So municipalities. So a number of those mayors, they all rely on each other in a situation like this because they're people that work in Tarrant County, live in Dallas County. Lots of commuting, tons of commuting.
It is going to be an interesting next couple of weeks, even at, you know, just talking to people.
Right.
I was outside yesterday talking to, one neighbor from a safe distance.
Mm.
And it's like, isn't this strange?
Mm-hmm.
Because they were working from home.
Right.
And so it's just, I think about unique times.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, going back, as I mentioned earlier, I remember the great blackout of 65. I remember the Cuban Missile Crisis. I went through some real, real bad snowstorms. 9/11 that we all went through. But nothing, as I mentioned, the only thing that compares to this, which is being isolated at home, except, you know, the last time this happened to this extent was probably the 2 weeks where you couldn't move in Buffalo following the blizzard of 77.
Right.
Where inside the city of Buffalo, probably it was a month where people really didn't move much.
Right.
But other than that, this is really unprecedented. I'm sure that people that live in that have been affected by hurricanes have said, okay, yeah, this, you know, the economy could be bad, but go through a major hurricane that hits your city and see how long that sticks with you. So, but most Americans aren't affected by that. So this is a really, really unique situation. But for the most part, and you and I talked about this earlier, for the most part, most people are handling it fine.
Yeah, sure.
You know,
right.
They're worried, you know, maybe worried about their job and those in the, especially in the service industry and a lot of other people out there that, you know, you are in our thoughts all the time. And that, I hate it. I hate it for so many of my friends that I know that work in the service industry that are being affected by this, and I hope it ends soon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's just devastating.
It's a dire situation for them. I mean, many of them work multiple jobs to make an ends meet.
I know. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Drivers, our friends at PACCAR have a product for your toolbox called PACLINK. It provides real-time information about what's going on with your truck. Michelle Moline is manager of product development for PACLINK and has more details.
PACLINK is basically a mobile diagnostic device that has a Bluetooth chip in it that allows you to use your phone to read why the check engine light is on in your truck. One of our biggest users is actually our own dealerships at PACCAR. Now, our dealers are also reselling this product to customers, and customers, owner operators, or fleet drivers use this while they're on the road so that if they have a check engine light that comes on, they can easily just use their phone to plug this thing in and see what's going on and then either send a report back to their dispatcher to await further instructions or, in the case of an owner operator, possibly even just figure out what needs to be done and go from there. It's a very simple ordering process. Go to PACCAR.com/PACLINK, P-A-C-L-I-N-K. I should mention, too, that if you're a member of OOIBA Association, you receive a 10% discount by logging into the OOIBA website.
This report is a service of Shell Rotella.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. I got to stop looking the last hour of the show at the Dow futures. Down 7 right now. Been down as much as 250 and up more than 800. So it's moved 1,000 up and down.
Yeah, it could be another chaotic day.
Like watching a yo-yo.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.